Hello everyone, John Terrell here. Today we are undertaking a set review of Streets of New Capenna, as well as the commander set associated with it, for MTG Cube Design. Welcome to Cultic Cube, where we cube religiously. We make you better at cube, and make your cube better. Alright, so Streets of New Capenna is just around the corner. It's an exciting set that has a lot of tools for us. I know there's been some grousing among some that the set is too gold-focused and low-powered. It is indeed gold-focused, no doubt about that. And that makes some percentage of the set less useful, at least to me, as I don't just love gold cards, especially ones that go in for many colors. We've got this emphasis on the shards here, so they're all these three-color cards. But some of them are still worth a look, and there's nevertheless a whole bunch of options in the single color slots too. The headline, of course, is the Triomes. WotC's completing the cycle of Triomes. Ikoria brought us the Wedge Triomes, five of those, and now we get the Shard Triomes, the Esper and the Bant and so on Triomes, so that's exciting. Although they're not called Triomes, they're called other silly things, I don't know. Today we'll be talking about this set's application to my higher power environment, Alaesis. It's a 450 card vintage unpowered environment. There's a link to that in the description below if you'd like to go check out the list. I've gotten a chance to play with some of these cards in just a little bit of playtesting. I haven't done as much testing as I'd like yet. My attentions have been occupied by KubeCon. Planning for that is coming along very well. Many thanks to all of you who submitted cubes for consideration for the main event at KubeCon. KubeCon is a four-day-long celebration of all things cube that will be happening in Madison, Wisconsin at the end of October 2022. Do check out mtgcubecon.com for more information about that. I am so excited about the event. It's going to be great. Now, let's dive into our set review. Let's begin with white. Our first card is Depopulate. This is a rare. It's two white-white for a sorcery. Each player who controls a multicolored creature draws a card. Then destroy all creatures. So we've got another Wrath effect at 4 mana, which is good. We don't always get Wraths at 4. This has a similar rider to Shatter the Sky, you all may remember from Theros Beyond Death, which says that each player who controls a creature with power 4 or greater draws a card. This one, I think, could be slightly better, possibly, because if you're behind and you want to wrath the board, it's sort of less likely that you've got a big creature, more likely that your opponent has a big creature. The Shatter the Sky, draw a card thing may be of a greater benefit to your opponent than to you. But Depopulate, very similar card. We know what it does. If you want another wrath, here you go. I imagine you know if you want this card. Next up, Patch Up. This is an uncommon, 2 and a white for a sorcery. Return up to 3 target creatures with total mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. This is an exciting card for white weenie strategies. This is a fine little insurance plan that gives white some card advantage for later in the game. This actually resurrecting the creatures and putting them right on the battlefield, that's big game. In a white weenie strategy, I have to imagine that you can very easily get 2 or 3 creatures out of the deal. When some of your creatures have been wrecked, you could also get a single useful 3-drop, and as well we know, white is typically flush with useful 3-drop creatures. Alright, next up, we've got a mythic Sanctuary Warden. 4 white-white for a creature angel soldier. It's a 5/5. It has flying, unsurprisingly. Sanctuary Warden enters the battlefield with 2 shield counters on it. Whenever Sanctuary Warden enters the battlefield or attacks, you may remove a counter from a creature or planeswalker you control. If you do, draw a card and create a 1/1 green and white citizen creature token. I'm not thrilled with this card. I don't love 6 mana threats. White is a color where 6 mana is a little bit awkward because I want to either go much lower down the curve in a white weenie strategy. I definitely don't want any 6 drops. I don't want any 5 drops. I'm not wild about very many 4 drops, right? In a more controlling strategy, this six drop creature isn't really quite close enough to saying win the game on it for me to be that excited about it. Although I do like that thanks to the shield counters, it could survive through my own wraths if I'm trying to control the board. As you can tell, I'm not super excited about this card, but I think it's worth trying. And Alaesis isn't a format that goes in hard into plus one counters, but they certainly exist. However, I do have a lot of planeswalkers in the environment. I did a whole video a while back on planeswalkers, encouraging people not to be shy of them, not to be afraid of planeswalkers. Go check that out if you haven't watched that video. Anyway, all that is to say that Sanctuary Warden allows you to take counters off not just itself, but off of other creatures as well, in order to draw a card and create a little token, so that's nice. So this card, it seems okay, it seems worth testing. At minimum, if you resolve this creature, you're getting a 5/5 flyer and a 1/1 silly token, and you're drawing a card, and your flyer has one shield regeneration left on it. That's some pile of value you're getting for your 6 mana. First blue card I'd like to discuss is going to sound very similar to that last white card. This is a mythic called All-Seeing Arbiter. It's 4 blue-blue, 6 mana, for a creature avatar. It has flying, and it's a 5/4. So we got a 5/4 flyer instead of a 5/5 flyer for 6 mana. Whenever All-Seeing Arbiter enters the battlefield or attacks, draw 2 cards, then discard a card. Whenever you discard a card, target creature an opponent controls gets -X/-0 until your next turn, where X is the number of different mana values among cards in your graveyard. Wow, that's kind of weird. Again, 6 mana is kind of awkward for blue. I do currently run Unesh Cryosphinx Sovereign in the 6 mana slot in blue. I don't know if you recall that card. It's from Hour of Devastation from Amonkhet Block. This is a Sphinx who costs 4 blue-blue for a 4/4 flyer. It says Sphinx spells you cast cost 2 generic mana less to cast. Don't worry about that. That's basically not relevant. Here's the more relevant bit. Whenever this thing enters, or another Sphinx enters, the battlefield under your control, reveal the top 4 cards of your library. An opponent separates those cards into 2 piles. Put one pile into your hand and the other into your graveyard. So this thing has a fact or fiction stapled onto it. So if you can resolve this card, you're getting to do kind of a fact or fiction thing, and you're getting to draw a couple of cards, or maybe one excellent card, and then it's a 4/4 flyer. I don't love Unesh Cryosphinx Sovereign, but I like it. I like it much better than the other options that are typically bandied about at this mana slot for blue creatures, you know, like Frost Titan, which I don't love at all. This thing feels sort of similar. You get to draw 2 cards and you pitch a card. So you don't see as many cards. You're only actually up a card out of the deal, but you've got this card selection, and presumably you might be able to keep 2 better cards and pitch a land or something, right? It also shrinks the opponent's guy, at least its power, in this wonky way. And if you get to attack with this thing, then you get to look at some more cards, draw another card. That's great. This has another point of power compared to Unesh Cryosphinx Sovereign. So I like it. I think this is well worth testing. I would like to test this over Unesh Cryosphinx Sovereign. Now we have an uncommon A Little Chat. Costs 1 and a blue for an instant. It has casualty 1. As you cast this spell, you may sacrifice a creature with power 1 or greater. When you do, copy this spell. Look at the top 2 cards of your library, put one of them into your hand and the other on the bottom of your library. So we've got a 2 mana cantrip that gives you some selection among cards. Also, if you're willing and able to sacrifice something with power 1 or greater, you get to do this twice. You get to look at 4 cards and pick 2 among those. So you can turn this into kind of a fact or fiction type effect as well. Wow, that's good. I love this card. I've resolved this card exactly once, but I'm already so excited about it. I was playing a blue-white controlling deck, and on turn 2, I played Spirited Companion, that new dog who cantrips like Elvish Visionary. And then the next turn, I declared the dog as a blocker when my opponent went to attack. And then I sacked the dog to a little chat and saw a bunch more cards and drew two more cards. So Doggo drew me a card and then a little chat let me see four more cards and pick two among those. Oh my goodness. It was like construct your own wonky ancestral recall. It's not that good, you guys, but it was good and it was fun. I like this card a lot. Even if you're not sacking anything to it, the card is fine. I like two mana cantrips just fine. One mana cantrip's much better, but I'll take two. It's instant speed. It enables some like blue aristocrats nonsense if you're in it for that. I don't even super care about that, but it could be useful to you. All right, next up, we have a common, Make Disappear. Costs one and a blue for an instant. It has casualty one. And it says counter target spell unless its controller pays two generic mana. So you all know me, I love quench effects. I love two mana counter spells. And I just jam them all in. Obviously mana leak is, you know, better than many of these other options. But I run mana leak, miscalc, quench, rune snag, lose focus from MH2 is excellent. This card is more similar to Lose Focus than to some of these others. Lose Focus is still a better card on average, but I quite like this. Here's a good card. Here's another good two mana counter. More counter magic. Here's an uncommon, an offer you can't refuse. It's a single blue mana for an instant. Counter target non-creature spell. Its controller creates two treasure tokens. Wow, so here we've got a one mana negate, one mana unconditional counter magic for non-creature spells. Opponent gets two treasure tokens, so that's quite a tariff. I mean, you're ramping them quite a bit. You're giving them these permanents, you're giving them artifacts. All of these things could be downside. So there are definitely downsides here. In a blue tempo strategy, you probably don't care about this. In a more controlling strategy, I mean, the idea is you still don't care that much about the treasure, hopefully, because you've got other ways of interacting with the opponent once they make use of those treasures. I don't know how wildly excited I am for this card, but I very much like that the card exists. It's easy to get people with this card. It's impossible to play around in the way that Force Spike or even potentially Spell Pierce can be played around. We've got a Spell Pierce that just does the thing. Onward, let's go to black. Lethal Scheme. Oh, this is the first of our commander product cards. Lethal Scheme. It costs two black for an instant. It's a rare. It has Convoke. I'm sure you know what Convoke does. It's four mana, but it has Convoke, so you can cast it for free, potentially, or, you know, for cheaper. Destroy target creature or planeswalker. Each creature that convoked Lethal Scheme connives. What does that mean, you ask? Draw a card and then discard a card. If you discarded a non-land card, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature. Oh my goodness. Here we've got this Hero's Downfall effect, destroy creature or planeswalker, that costs 4 mana instead of 3 mana, like Hero's Downfall does. So it's still an instant. You may not be that excited about that, but still, this is quite unconditional removal. So that's, you know, that's a good starting point. But you can make it cheaper. And not only can you make it cheaper through convoking, but then for each creature that you convoke with, you get to do some looting. You get to draw and then discard. And if you're pitching non-lands, then you're getting to put counters on your convoked guys and make things bigger. So what a package. Also, this, of course, could help you bin things. You know, this is perfectly obvious, I'm sure, if you're in a reanimator strategy or... if you want something in the yard, you can use this looting effect to help put it in the yard, which you may well want to do with a black card, right? You may care about the graveyard if you're in black. So this seems like a very solid card. I'm anxious to try it out. Tenacious Underdog. This is a rare for one and a black. It's a creature human warrior. It has Blitz. You can pay two black and pay two life. And then if you cast this spell for its Blitz cost, it gains haste and the ability, when this creature dies, draw a card. Sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. You may cast Tenacious Underdog from your graveyard using its Blitz ability, and it's a 3/2. Okay, so there's a lot going on there. So Brass Tacks, this thing is one and a black for a 3/2 with no downside. So this is we're already interested in this if we're into black aggro, as I am in Alesis. Also, it has recursion. Now, the recursion cost is kind of steep, because you have to pay 4 mana, which is a lot, and you have to pay 2 life, which, whatever, but that's like a lot on top of 4 mana. And then you can cast this thing from the graveyard. It gains haste, that's super cool. But then it is going to die, although when it dies, it draws you a card, so that's nice. So the next turn, if you want to do all that again, you're going to have to make another 4 mana investment and 2 life investment. It's slow, and it's going to add up. So this is a neat card. I very much wish that the Blitz cost were much cheaper than it is, but here we are. It still seems worth trying, and it is very nice that when it's Blitzed in this way, you get to draw that card. And just to say, you can, like if you wanted to, you could Blitz it from hand rather than hard casting it from hand if you just wanted to give it haste. That's it for black. Let me pause here a moment to say, firstly, KubeCon, you guys. KubeCon, a celebration of all things cube. We're going to have lots of cubes for people to play. We're going to have all sorts of cool swag and prizes. What a great event. I'm so excited about it. As you all probably know, if you've been following my channel for a while, I was deep in KubeCon organization with a bunch of awesome friends 2 years ago when COVID hit and we had to postpone the thing. But now we're back on. It is scheduled for October 20th through 23rd, 2022. It'll be in Madison, Wisconsin at a big convention hall. We're partnering with another large tabletop gaming convention, so that's cool. There's going to be so much stuff to do there in addition to playing Cube, but like, I'm in it for Cubin. I don't know about you guys. Come along and Cube with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope to see you there. Also, let me mention, I've got a Patreon page. I'd be honored if you would support me through that medium. I've also got other ways of supporting the show. I've got affiliate relationships with things like TCG Player. And I've got the Cultic Bestiary project, all of these tokens I've been making. I've already made 9 tokens for Streets of New Capenna, including things like a Obnixilus token. Check out the Cultic Bestiary project on Etsy. I'm excited to share those with people. All right, back to the cards. We're on to red. We have an uncommon, Rob the Archives. This is 1 and a red for a sorcery. It has casualty 1. Exile the top 2 cards of your library. You may play those cards this turn. So this looks similar to Reckless Impulse, which I quite like from Crimson Vow, recent card we just got. Reckless Impulse costs 1 and a red for a sorcery. Exile the top 2 cards of your library until the end of your next turn. You may play those cards. Rob the Archives, same cost, also a sorcery. You also get to look at 2 cards and potentially play 2 cards. However, Rob the Archives only gives you until the end of this turn to play them, and that's, you know, that's a big deal. Getting until the end of your next turn gives you more of an opportunity to play them. If you're playing this on turn 2, then, you know, what are you gonna hit that you can play? A Mox? Not an Eleasis. Rob the Archives better in that it has casualty. So if you sacrifice something, then you get to do this twice, right? You get to exile 4 cards and dig much deeper. That's pretty cool. That gives you a lot of card selection, but of course you still have to be able to play the thing. It looks like it has potential. And if you draw this card later in the game, you're probably pretty happy. It's a good way to give more gas to an aggressive red deck or to any red deck, I suppose. I like it. I do think I like Reckless Impulse better, though. Okay, next up we have Strangle. Strangle! Oh my gosh, what a name. That's a name that WotC expects to use again. It's not some long and complicated set-specific name. So, this is a common. It's a single red mana pip for a sorcery. It says Strangle deals 3 damage to target creature or planeswalker. Wow, 1 mana, 3 damage spell. Excellent. We don't get those every day. So we've got a Chain Lightning. It can't hit face, of course. So that makes it substantially worse. But, you know, I'm happy to take 2 mana spells, even 2 mana sorceries that deal 3 damage, like Fire Ambush. Of course, Fire Ambush can hit face, or Incendiary Flow. Or I run a number of Syrian Spear type things, even at sorcery speed. This is 1 mana. It's great. It looks similar to Flame Slash, of course, from Rise of the Eldrazi. 1 mana sorcery that deals 4 to target creature. So you may be like, well, that's sad. This only deals 3 instead of 4. That is sad. However, Strangle can hit Planeswalkers, so I think that's an upgrade, at least for me in this environment, where we do have Planeswalkers, and it's a relatively quick environment, or it can be, so we've got lots of low toughness creatures, aggressive creatures. Next up, we've got Unlucky Witness. This is an uncommon for a single red mana pip. It's a creature, human citizen, and it's a 1/1. When Unlucky Witness dies, exile the top two cards of your library. Until your next end step, you may play one of those cards. If this thing dies on your turn, then you're only getting until the end of this turn to play a card off of this thing. If it dies on opponent's turn, then you get until the end of your next turn. So that's nice. I kind of like this. This isn't a super aggressive creature. I mean, it's a one mana 1/1, not an aggressive creature, but it does replace itself with a little bit of card selection. And it's not like super reliable for replacing itself, but it does do that thing. So I think that this is definitely worth trying out. You know how I love cantrips. This is a red one mana cantrip in a sense, attached to a body. Onward to green. Here's another slightly hot take card, possibly Titan of Industry. It's a mythic, costs 4 green, green, green. So it costs 7. It's a creature elemental and it is a 7/7. It has reach, it has trample. When Titan of Industry enters the battlefield, choose 2. So here's choice 1, destroy target artifact or enchantment. So we can naturalize something. Choice 2, target player gains 5 life. Choice 3, create a 4/4 green rhino warrior creature token. I have one of those in the Cultic Bestiary for the set, you guys, a 4/4 green rhino warrior creature token. It's great too. It's a great token. It's based on a very famous woodcut by Albrecht Dürer, who did a woodcut of this rhinoceros in 1515 that was sent to the King of Portugal by a sultan in India. And this was the first rhinoceros that had been in Europe since the days of the Roman Empire. So rhinoceroses, they were just completely unknown, really, as a phenomenon in Europe. They'd fallen out of popular lore and literature over the course of more than 1,000 years. And then suddenly here's this creature that nobody even recalled existed. It's a great print. Or choice 4, put a shield counter on a creature you control. Sorry, I got distracted with the Cultic Bestiary there. So here's the deal. 7 mana, 7/7. It has reach and it has trample. And you get to choose 2 things. Naturalize something, gain 5 life, make a 4/4 token, or put a shield counter on something. This sort of weird one-off regeneration shield thing. I don't have like a ton to say about this card, honestly. It is a modal card. It's got many different modes. You're going to be able to get value off of this card if you resolve it. It's ETB, not cast, that you get to choose stuff, so that's great. That means that you can reanimate it, for example, or sneak attack it, or natural order it, or whatever, or blink it, potentially, if you're into flickering stuff. And you'll get all this value all over again. There's a wide variety of options for you to choose from, so you're going to be able to find 2 options that are useful to you. You know, the card looks solid. It doesn't look super duper exciting. Like, on the one hand, it's a big dumb 7-mana guy, but it brings a lot of value along with it. I don't really love big dumb expensive green creatures. 7-mana is kind of a weird place for big dumb green creatures because I either want to go smaller, play green mid-range that's ramping into 4-drops and 5-drops quickly, or I want to go way bigger in green and cheat in a World Spine Worm or a Liege of the Tangle or something. Some nonsense that's enormous. This guy sits here in between those two, and that's a little bit awkward. Here's a card to know about. Here's a card I'm probably going to test. I feel like it's a card that can be in the cube for a while, and then as soon as the next big green dumb thing comes along, I'll be happy to swap this thing out for the next thing that looks interesting. Okay, next up we've got Workshop War Chief. This is a rare for 3 green green. It's a creature rhino warrior. It's a 5/3. This is probably sounding rather familiar. We've got a 5-mana 5/3. It's going to sound even more familiar as we continue. When Workshop Warchief enters the battlefield, you gain 3 life. When Workshop Warchief dies, create a 4/4 green rhino warrior creature token. And it has Blitz. You can pay 6 mana for this, pay 4 green green. It gains haste and the ability when this creature dies, draw a card, and then you sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. So here's something that looks, of course, a great deal like our friend Thragtusk. It's better and worse than Thragtusk. This thing has trample, that's cool. It gains you 3 life instead of 5 life. That's not as good. It's a little harder to cast because it has 2 green mana pips instead of 1, as Thragtusk does. When this thing dies, it makes a 4-4. That sounds better than Thragtusk's 3-3 beast that it leaves behind, except, you know as well as I, it says when Thragtusk leaves the battlefield, create this beast, not dies. Which is why, obviously, Restoration Angel and Thragtusk were BFFs and they dominated that standard season. Because you can flicker the thing and still get the value. Thragtusk doesn't have to die. Also, Thragtusk could be Oblivion Ringed or whatever. Could be Path to Exile. You still get the value. Whereas if this new Rhino guy, Workshop Warchief, gets pathed, you don't get the value. So very similar to Thragtusk. The knobs have been tweaked a little bit. Even at like this starting point, this is probably better than Thragtusk, I think. Like it leaves behind a better body. It has trample. That stuff seems better. But then it's also got Blitz, so I don't know how often you do this. You can cast it as a 6 mana ball lightning kind of thing, which sounds expensive, I know. However, when it dies, it still leaves behind the 4-4, and when cast in this mode, it replaces itself. That's kind of nice. I don't know how often you blitz the thing, but I like that that ability is there, and I'm anxious to play around with this card. I haven't resolved it or seen it resolved yet. Okay, let's move on to gold. A caveat here is that, as you all probably know, I'm allergic to gold cards, and oh my gosh, I'm especially allergic to gold cards that are 3 mana, or Lord Forfend, 4 mana or 5 mana, you know, different colors. So I don't love all of this Shards of Alara stuff that we've got going on here. So I'm not going that deep into gold, but there's a few that I'm interested in. I should say as well that the new Obnixilus is just Rakdos colors. He doesn't actually need 3 colors. He's worth a look. It looks like a potentially good card. I'm just not into Aristocrats, so I'm less excited about that card than I might otherwise be. But go check him out if you're interested. I heard just from people playing in the pre-release the other day that the card is miserable, but you know, it's probably to be expected when you're playing sealed or whatever. But likely the card is just miserable to play against generally in a lot of environments. All right, so let's move on. So the first is a rare from the Commander set. It's called Cryptic Pursuit. Costs 2 blue red, so 4 mana with Izzet colors. It's an enchantment. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell from your hand, manifest the top card of your library. Put that card onto the battlefield face down as a 2/2 creature. Turn it face up at any time for its mana cost if it's a creature card. Whenever a face down creature you control dies, exile it if it's an instant or sorcery card. You may cast that card until the end of your next turn. Okay, this looks kind of wonky. It is a little wonky. It's also gold, so it has to be good. We'll see how good it is. But look, this is an enchantment that pumps out creatures for you. It looks similar to Primordial Mist. If you haven't heard about that card, check out this card. It's also from a Commander set. This was, I feel like Primordial Mist, I don't even know if this is totally true. My vague recollection is finding Primordial Mist in that Commander set was the first time that I started really sitting up and paying close attention to the Commander product releases for new goodies for Cube. Primordial Mist, it costs 4 and a blue for an enchantment. It says at the beginning of your end step, you may manifest the top card of your library. And exile face down permanent you control, you may play that card this turn. I guess we don't have to go into all of the paths you can take with this card, but what I want to point out is that this card, at minimum, creates a 2/2 creature for you at the end of each turn, each of your turns, for 5 mana. That may not sound like a great deal, but in a controlling shell, this provides you with a lot of inevitability. This is an enchantment that looks a lot like a planeswalker who keeps just making guys. But enchantments can't be attacked in the way that planeswalkers can be attacked. So enchantments tend to stick around longer than planeswalkers do. So the play pattern for this card basically is you put this in a controlling deck, you got a whole bunch of wraths in your deck, right? And ways of interacting with the opponent and their game plan. So you wipe the board, you've got this thing in play, you start making 2/2s. They play a creature, you Swords to Plowshares it, and you keep like making creatures. This provides inevitability and a win con. So this new card, Cryptic Pursuit, does a similar thing. It doesn't work quite the same way. You have to cast an instant or sorcery in order to manifest a card. But you're putting this in a deck where you've got a lot of instants and sorceries is the idea. It's providing you with creatures, which your deck probably doesn't have a ton of. So that's good. It also means you're not going to be flipping many of these cards into creatures. But as these little 2/2s that you're making, chump block or whatever, as they die, if they're instants or sorceries, you get to draw that card and cast it this turn. That's kind of amazing. And again, you're putting this in a deck with a lot of instants and sorceries, right? If you're not, why is this card in your deck, right? This card, I'm excited about it. I think this looks like fun. It's sort of a build around, except like not a build around. You're putting this in an Izzet deck. You're not like really building around this card, I don't imagine. Your Izzet deck is going to welcome it with open arms. Welcome, friend. Join us. Cast spells. Okay, here's a funny one. This is a rare. Ginny Fae, Jetmir's second. She's a legendary creature elf druid who's a 3/3, and her casting cost is weird. So she costs 3 mana total. Let's start with that. She costs a hybrid red or green mana, a green mana, and then a hybrid green or white mana. That's confusing. You could cast her for green, 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 or you could cast her for Naya colors, red, green, white, or you could cast her for some combination where you've got green, green, red, or green, green, white. I hope that made some sense for those listening who aren't looking at the card right now. So, three color card, but like not really. She could very easily be a 2-color card. You could put her in a Gruul deck and that's fine. Or you could put her in a Selesnya deck and that's fine. You could even like just cast her off green. It's hard, it costs green, green, green to do that, but you could do it. Okay, so we've got a oddly costed 3-mana 3/3. What does she do? She says, if you would create one or more tokens, you may instead create that many, either 2/2 green cat creature tokens with haste, or that many 3/1 green dog creature tokens with vigilance. Well, side note, I've got cats and dogs, a pair of them, in the Cultic Bestiary. I'm proud of those too, but I won't bore you with the stories behind those. You're going to create tokens. Instead of creating those little, you know, 1/1 soldiers or 1/1 humans, you could instead make 2/2 hasty cats, or you could make 3/1 vigilant dogs. Your choice. That's cool. So this is a token generator replacement effect thing along the lines of Divine Visitation that turns all of your tokens into angels. Obviously that's better, but also that's a white 5-mana enchantment. Ginny Fae is at base a 3-mana 3/3, a like awkward to cast potentially 3-mana 3/3, but that's what she is. So the floor is kind of fine. You're not putting her in the deck unless she can do more for you than that. But if you're putting her in the right shell that has some token making capabilities, it could be great. Worth checking out. In Alaesis, there's not a quote unquote token deck. I don't go into heavy support for narrow micro archetypes like that. But there's plenty of token creation, right? Incidental token creation. You pick this thing up in pack one, you can make that a priority for yourself. Scheming Fence. Here's a rare who costs white blue for a creature human citizen who's a 2/3. So we've got a gold 2-mana 2/3 in Azorius colors. Again, the floor is fine, although it's gold. Okay, so as Scheming Fence enters the battlefield, you may choose a non-land permanent. Activated abilities of the chosen permanent can't be activated. That's cool, you just turn it off. Scheming Fence has all activated abilities of the chosen permanent except for loyalty abilities. You may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to activate those abilities. Wow, that's kind of neat. This thing can like sort of steal opponents' creatures or whatever. It turns off their version of it, and it gets those abilities. That's exciting. These can be mana abilities, right? That's sometimes a restriction, right? Like turn off non-mana abilities or something. It just says non-land. That's the restriction. Also, this thing, it can turn off planeswalkers and their activated abilities, but of course this thing has the restriction that it doesn't become the Planeswalker and get loyalty abilities. This thing is a fine disruptive card. I mean, you have to be an Azorius, but it's nice that you can do this and that you can cast him on turn two. You can get him out on turn two and turn off opponents' things with early activated abilities that could be useful. It's not like we have Moxen in the cube, of course, but there are plenty of two-mana rocks that maybe they got out ahead of you. They're on the play and they ran out of Signet or something. Of course, they could have played a turn one mana dork. You are doing some version of bolting the bird, but then you get the bird's ability. That's neat. What else? I don't know. We could like turn off a Bone Splitter. I don't know how relevant that is. You could turn off Retrofitter Foundry. That's kind of cool. And I'm just here, we're just talking about one drop plays, right? Obviously, this thing can do much more than just stop one drops. All I'm saying is it's cool that it provides this model of interaction quite early and that it could be awesome if you get to turn this guy into an elf and turn off their elf. Okay, we're in the home stretch. There is one artifact that I am excited about. It is another card that's from the Commander set. It's called Currency Converter. It's a rare for a single generic mana. Whenever you discard a card, you may exile that card from your graveyard. You can pay two and tap this thing to draw a card and then discard a card. Also, you can pay nothing and tap this thing to put a card exiled with Currency Converter into your graveyard. If it's a land card, create a treasure token. If it's a non-land card, create a 2/2 black rogue creature token. So here's a worse version of Retrofitter Foundry. It's a card that's similar, but that has some different applications, potentially. So it's an artifact that you can play on turn one, just like Retrofitter Foundry. It creates dudes, as does Retrofitter Foundry, although this one takes longer to get going. The base rate for the dudes is a little better. It's a 2/2, whereas Retrofitter Foundry gives you a 1/1 servo, and then you can do the whole upgrade cycle, which takes some time and some mana as well. But you can upgrade to a Thopter and then to a 4/4 construct. But also importantly, this card is a looter. So it lets you see more cards, it lets you bin cards. And notice that when you bin with this, you don't have to do the whole exile nonsense. So if you are in a reanimator strategy and you have Grizzlebrand that you just want to put straight into the yard and not mess around with all this other stuff, well, you can do that. This is a neat little card. As well, we all know artifacts can certainly matter. It can be very nice to get an artifact down on turn one and start building that artifact count, or already have something available to you for tinker nonsense and so on. So I like it. Interesting card. Okay, so finally we have the Triomes. We're completing this cycle. We already mentioned these at the top of the program, of course. I'll just name them for you, I guess. You probably know what Triomes are. These are rare lands. They tap for three colors, each of them do, and they have the basic land types on the type line there. So, for example, Jetmir's Garden is a land, mountain, forest, plains. So it taps for red, green, or white. All of these enter the battlefield tapped, and they all have cycling three. So you can pay three generic mana, pitch this card, and draw a new card. Awesome. So these are really excellent fixing, given that they have the basic land types. This is important because it means they're fetchable, of course. Crack your Flooded Strand and go find them. Ikoria gave us the five wedges. Now we complete the cycle with the shards. These are not called Triomes, they're called all kinds of different things. So Jetmir's Garden, that's the Naya Triome. Rafine's Tower is Esper. Spera's Headquarters is Bant. Xander's Lounge is Grixis. And finally, Ziatora's Proving Ground is Jund. Streets of New Capenna has new names for the shards, but I have no idea what they are, I'm afraid. I'm just going to keep using Jund and so on. Honestly, I couldn't tell you what the Ikoria shard names are either, for that matter. So that's it. That's it, everybody. Quite a few cards here. We just ran through a list of 18 of them, and that's not counting the Triomes. That brings the total up to 23. So I've got a goodly number of cards I'm testing here. Cards I'm most excited about, well, Triomes, let's be real. Apart from that, I think some of these additions to blue are what are getting me most excited here. A Little Chat, Make Disappear, An Offer You Can't Refuse. A Little Chat is that card draw spell with Casualty. Make Disappear is a counter magic with Casualty. And then An Offer You Can't Refuse is the one mana negate. Beyond that, I don't know, that Scheming Fence, that's a cool card. The blue-white card that turns off abilities and gets abilities itself. Patch Up, that's kind of exciting. The white card that reanimates a bunch of stuff. It's kind of narrow in its application, though. Oh, Lethal Scheme, the black removal spell with Convoke, and that then lets you cycle through stuff. I don't know. I'm just listing all the cards all over again, you guys. I'm excited about the set. Stay tuned for next time when we'll treat the cards that I'm adding to Petty Nobility. There's even a few more that I'm adding to Petty Nobility compared to Eleusis. This is my lower-powered format. Thanks for hanging out and going through Streets of New Capenna with me. Let's keep hanging out and chatting cube.